For Oak Lawn's Rick Goldschmidt, Rudolph is more than just a TV special. He's written several books about the art and artistry of the Rankin-Bass Productions. He says the team brought a new style of puppetry to the United States.
It's actually called Animagic, which is a stop-motion process of animation that they went to Japan to do. This guy, Tad Moshinaga, was the head of the studio who did all the animation with a guy named Hiroshi Tabata. And they produced this animation that Arthur Rankin discovered in the late 50s, early 60s, and saw, this is what the way I want to do The New Adventures of Pinocchio, which was the first series that they did. And then out of that came Rudolph. And what Rankin-Bass did that was different than George Pal or Ray Harryhausen was they gave a personality to puppets, animagic figures, that was never seen before or since. With people like Burl Ives and Billy Mae Richards, who did the voice of Rudolph, Yukon Cornelius. It also has great music by Maury Laws and has a great design and look to it from the Japanese animators. And the Canadian voice actors did most of the voice work in Rudolph, all done in Canada. And the reason they did that was a financial reason, first of all, because it was inexpensive. But in Canada, radio lasted longer than it did in the States. So these actors who were doing radio could conjure up a character that was believable by not looking at anything, which is basically what they had. They really didn't know what kind of characters they were animating.
Despite the Japanese style and Canadian voice actors, Goldschmidt says Rudolph and all of the Rankin-Bass productions have a very American look.
Tony Peters was a New Yorker, and he designed The New Adventures of Pinocchio and Rudolph. And then Paul Coker Jr. and Jack Davis are out of Mad Magazine. And Jack Davis did movie posters like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, TV Guide covers, Time Magazine covers. So he has a certain look, which is hard to animate. And Paul Coker has the frosty look, you know, like the Hallmark card, Mad Magazine look, which they used in Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and they did the Miser Brothers from The Year Without a Santa Claus. And these are all very American-looking characters. So you would never know the animation was done in Japan.
He says Rudolph was the first in a series of holiday specials Arthur Rankin produced. And while the stories, songs, and holidays changed, the formula remained the same.
It was a kind of a template that became the Rankin-Bass trademark to get a significant actor like Burl Ives or Fred Astaire, Jimmy Durante, or Boris Karloff, or Greer Garson in the case of The Little Drummer Boy, and have him narrate the story, become a character that could host a show about
silver
a song.
Silver and gold, everyone wishes for silver and gold.
And Romeo Muller Jr. Was the guy to do that. He just had a magical way of putting a story together, which always included an underdog like Rudolph and Hermie.
Oh, is this your snowbank?
No. Who are you?
Well, actually, I am a dentist.
A dentist?
Well, I want to be someday. Right now, I'm just an elf. But I don't need anybody. I'm independent.
Yeah? Me too. I'm whatever you said.
And the villains were always reformed, like the Bumble, who became a tree decorator at the end of the special. That's very satisfying to the viewer. It was developed by a writer named Romeo Muller, who created the Island of Misfit Toys.
How would you like to be a spotted elephant?
Or a choo-choo with square wheels on your caboose?
Or a water pistol that shoots jelly?
We're all misfits!
The surprise is, It's okay to be a misfit. It's okay to have things wrong with you. You might find a way to make good use of what the problem is that you have. Like Rudolph was able to guide Santa's sleigh. Hermie ultimately became a dentist. That's really the underlying reason why people love the show so much.
Goldschmidt says even though this was Rudolph's 50th birthday, the show hasn't gotten the attention it deserves.
Only a few people know this, I guess I'm one of them, is that it hasn't been properly restored in HD yet. The version that's floating around on the Blu-ray was restored about 4 years ago, improperly. Yukon's outfit is green. All of the scenes aren't correct. The original ending, which a friend of mine has on a print in color, is different than the one that's on the Blu-ray. The CBS print's even worse than that. They edited the song, We're a Couple of Misfits, with the wrong animation from Fame and Fortune, and it's all chopped up and jerky. The mouths don't even match up with the singing. There's scenes missing. It's time compressed. It's going to be difficult now, I can see, because I offered to help about a year and a half ago. DreamWorks owns the special now, and so far they didn't take me up on it, and we're still looking at a bad print.
Overall, he says Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer still delivers, but it deserves the treatment other groundbreaking shows have gotten over the years.
It's actually the longest-running, highest-rated TV special of all time. Not just Christmas, TV special.
And for that,
he went down in history.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say...
I'm Brian O'Keefe.